You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea. That's right, everybody. It's another live football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye, and sitting next to me for the football shows. Hey, I got it. I kind of got it right that time. Banker Bill. Bill, what's going on, bud?
It's this way, right? Isn't it this way?
Like, yeah, you got it. It always throws me off.
I know. It's too confusing. What's happening, Ryan? Are we ready to talk some NFL and college football this time, right? I think we're going both ways.
I think so. Yeah, well, I'm not sure how much college we're going to get into tonight. We got a lot of pro football to talk about. We are 1 week outside of preseason week one. But there's other stuff going on behind the scenes as I'm here trying to share this this live video. If you come in and join the live feed, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, make sure you leave a comment. We can talk about whatever it is that you bring up during the show. We'll bring your comment live on the screen. Thanks for joining us again. Facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns. Twitter @tapoutsandtds. It's not called Twitter anymore. It's X. And they're not called retweets. When you retweet somebody, it's repost. It's called reposting. Like it's not Twitter trending topics anymore. What the X is going on, I suppose. Or you could always watch the feed on YouTube. Again, remember, if you're watching the show on one of the whatever platform it is, leave a comment. We'll read it live on the air. And if there's something that we don't get to that you want us to talk about, present it. Because if we are nothing, we are a fan of fan interaction, of audience interaction. So I guess we'll go ahead and get started, Bill. A lot of stuff has happened over the last few days, and we are not short of topics to discuss. Let's start off with a couple of running backs that got signed, Bill. Ezekiel Elliott, officially a Patriot, signing a one-year deal, and Dalvin Cook signing an official one-year deal with the Jets. Let's start off with Ezekiel Elliott. I know you joke about him being fat.
It's more like being slow.
Listen, when you're in the NFL, if you're slow, you appear to be fat. That could be it. Bill, what's a reasonable expectation for Ezekiel? For Ezekiel Elliott with the Patriots here in 2023.
Well, they have a pretty good starting running back, right? Ramondre Stevenson. He's pretty darn good.
Which is why I don't know why they went out and got Zeke. I have no idea why.
I think he's their thumper. So let's say he's not a fantasy option for the most part, I would think. I think maybe he will be a fantasy option down towards the goal line. But how often are you going to expect that offense to score? I mean, they didn't have a great season last season. I don't think he adds a lot between the 20s. But I think closer to the goal line, I think he's probably a okay back. But, I mean, are you going to take that many scores away from your bell cow there with Ramondre Stevenson? I mean, isn't he going to get upset at some point saying, hey, I want to score too? And it's not like he's a small guy. I think Ramondre's pretty good size.
My concern is the Patriots are notorious for using multiple running backs in the season, whether it was the years when sort of the later years for Tom Brady, you had James White, you had Rex Burkhead, a couple other guys. Sony Michel was in there at one point. So a reasonable expectation for Ezekiel Elliott is to get some time off of the back of Ramondre Stevenson. I think I could be wrong. I have no insight. I have no idea what I'm, you know, any sort of inside information with the New England Patriots, but I would imagine they kept Ramondre
from like some Asian massage place if you wanted inside information from the Patriots.
I see what you did there. I don't know how to come back from that. I think the idea is that of all the players that have come and gone for the New England in the last few years, Ramondre Stevenson has been a guy that they seem to be investing in. Now, that's not saying that they've given him a new contract because he hasn't gotten a contract. I don't think he's up for a contract extension, but this might be sort of a make it or break it year. If Ramondre Stevenson can't sort of break out as like a 1,000-yard rusher, you know,
He was a 1,000-yard rusher last season. I just wanted to look at his stats. 2022, he broke 1,000 yards by 40. but only ran the ball 210 times. So 5 yards per carry, not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, a good average, good rushing average for Ramondre Stevenson. A lot of people like him in fantasy football. Yeah. But I wonder if they're sort of using Ezekiel Elliott to push him along with taking some of the pressure off of him. A real quick reminder, thanks if you're watching the show live with us, a couple of viewers on Facebook, make sure you're leaving a comment below so that we can read your comment on the air. And if there's something that you want us to talk about coming off of preseason week one, feel free to do so as well. Let's move on from Ezekiel Elliott. Let's talk Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is a New York Jet. The Jets are going all in this season, kind of like what they did a few years ago with Brett Favre. Go figure. Another Green Bay quarterback in the end of their prime. The Jets are just trying to pull at strings, and I haven't watched it, and I'm not going to watch it. Hard Knocks with the Jets. I was listening to Colin Cowherd earlier this week.
Is that where Hard Knocks is this week or this season? Is New York? Jets. I don't even pay attention. So yeah.
Yep. Okay. And so I think Colin Cowherd made a comment that the two stars that you expected to be the stars of the show are Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers, and apparently they are. Robert Saleh, I heard a soundbite from Robert Saleh saying that, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically, you know, we're doing everything we can to reestablish who we are, to change our culture. And it doesn't matter if we have a Hall of Fame quarterback. It doesn't matter if we have 2,000-yard rushers. It doesn't matter if we have two $10 million wide receivers. If we're not changing the culture on the offensive line, then we are not going to change who we are. We are not going to change our character. We're not going to change who we are to everybody else. So when you got a guy like Dalvin Cook coming into play, like, yeah, the idea is that he's going to take some of the pressure off Aaron Rodgers. Breece Hall, I should mention, coming off an ACL injury in week 7 last season, he was activated from the PUP list this week. So they got Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall in the same week. But again, if the offensive line doesn't play well, and apparently at camp this week, they're holding a paired camp with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Aaron Rodgers was getting gone after in training camp. So looking at the fact that their offensive line struggles, you've got an aged quarterback who I've already been very clear about. I don't think is going to have a great season this year. What are reasonable expectations out of Dalvin Cook here in New York?
Injury. I think you're going to see him get hurt. Dalvin Cook has only finished his one season, and that was this last season. And of course, it's amazing to me when you got guys that are on a contract year. Oh, suddenly he doesn't get hurt for 3 games. Like, okay, 17 games. He played all 17 games last season. And you know what? It's weird, man. You talk about the offensive line having a problem, and sometimes I go, well, you can kind of mask that, but I don't know if you can mask it with a 39-year-old quarterback. He's not going to move a ton. Aaron Rodgers was always pretty athletic. He could definitely get around. He could run a little bit, and he was pretty good. But I mean, as a 39-year-old, you saw what happened last year when he got pressured with Green Bay. He basically just throws the ball away. 2 years ago, he decided he wasn't going to take hits anymore and started throwing the ball away at a higher rate than he'd ever done before. It was maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot more of that this season. If their offensive line struggles, he's not going to stay in the fight. He's just basically in maintenance mode. And hopefully they're better than they expect, offensive line wise, because he's just gonna toss it away, man. And what do you expect from Dalvin Cook? I mean, they have Breece Hall, which is weird. I don't. They're so high on this guy, and then they're like, by the way, we're gonna bring in this all pro guy for you. Don't worry, you'll play behind him. Don't worry. Like, what is going on? I don't know. Yeah. I get it. He's a great player, but they also paid him a ton. They paid him almost $9 million. That's a lot, especially since Saquon got 11.
Well, and it's more money than the highest paid running back in the offseason Miles Sanders got on a per year basis. Real quick, shout out to Rudy Quarterman giving us a like on Facebook, and Roy Stevens giving us a little shout out. Hey, Roy.
Oh, boy.
Listen, I think I don't know if they know what to expect out of Breece Hall coming off an injury. He's just now starting to practice. Dalvin Cook is healthy at the moment. I think Dalvin Cook starts the season as your starting running back in New York. I think he's gonna be. He's going to get the bulk of the work.
$9 million a year? He better be your quarterback, too. I know. That's a little bit. I mean, he better live up to the expectations with that amount of money. I know that there were a lot of teams, and I know that they said the Miami Dolphins had an offer on the table for Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook's from Florida, so he wanted to go back to Miami. He made that pretty clear. I mean, he went down there and visited and everything. But I don't think $9 million? Like, he better be the man up there in New York for that kind of money. If he wants to, I mean, we've heard it, but we already talked about it a couple weeks ago. These running backs complaining about how much money they were getting paid, and, you know, we're not paid the amount we're deserved and all this stuff. Dalvin Cook just got paid $9 million for one season, and it's a prove-it season to the New York Jets. He has to make it happen there. If he doesn't, not only does he set himself back, he's probably done, right?
Yeah.
We won't see much of Dalvin Cook. He might take a really tiny contract to play for somebody the year after. But after that, I mean, now you'll have the same problem with the running backs the next season. Be like, well, Saquon did it. We know Saquon's getting hurt. He's never played two seasons in a row. That's going to happen in any point in his career, including college. Dalvin Cook has gotten hurt every season except for last season. So we expect him to get hurt as well. And then they're just going to tell everybody, this is why we don't pay running backs. I mean, these guys have to be the guy. So Dalvin Cook has a ton of pressure on him. Does it make the Jets better? Yeah, he's a good player when he's on the field. But how long is he going to be on the field? He's going to get broken, and then his backup's going to get broken, and the Jets are going to stick again. So that's the way New York works. And welcome to being a Jets fan.
Well, Roy Steven kind of chimes in. He thinks Cook would have been a great addition to y'all's roster down in Miami.
Roy is a Dolphins fan, too. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I could tell by the comment. I got to share a couple of these comments. PJ Steven, co-host of The Wrestling Show, has been in here leaving some comments. Wanted to know if Kevin Green still played football. And he wanted us all to know that Kevin Green was a full-time pro wrestler who played football sometimes. A darker moment. Kevin Green actually passed away last year. So,
yeah. Thanks for that, PJ.
But PJ also, when he leaves a comment and I'm reading it before I put it on the air, he's giggling at the fact that, like, I'm cracking a grin every time he posts something that's just sort of
outrageous. I have left The Wrestling Show alone. I do listen. I mean, this time machine that we're on, I can't get over. I'm so, like, I'm drooling in my car. You guys almost made me. No, I'm kidding. I actually, part of me finds it fascinating to listen to you guys on The Wrestling Show because, I mean, PJ is a wealth of knowledge and not bad to listen to. So you're a pain. I can't deal with you. But you are too. I mean, you guys are unbelievably knowledgeable about wrestling. So I think that's my fascination with The Wrestling Show is not the wrestling itself, but the fact that you guys know the things that you do. And it's like PJ will say something and you're like, Yamamoto. And like, you know what I mean? And it's like, how did they both know this? And you're like, you're right, it was Yamamoto. Like,
the beauty of it is the closer we get to football season, the closer and farther along we get to the next wrestling show, so that we can have y'all crisscross and you can come pick matches on a wrestling show.
I can't do it because
PJ is going to come over and pick games for the football show.
He can't stop himself from being like a woman and being like, oh, I love Bears. You know, like,
I like the color green, so let's go Eagles.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that'll be right. And then he'll outpick us. And I'll be like, nah, I'll never hear the end
of that. Well, hopefully he's a fan of the color blue because the Colts have a new quarterback and Anthony Richardson. I guess it's big news because we talked about on the show last week, there was a quarterback competition and Anthony Richardson did not look good. In his first preseason game with the Colts, he threw an interception.
Which we said that was an issue with Anthony Richardson coming in. He overthrew the ball, and he was picked off.
There's also a throw that he made where he threw the ball at somebody's feet in front of him. Yeah, another overthrow. So Anthony Richardson, the coaches say they've seen enough in on film. They saw enough in the preseason game. Anthony Richardson himself was shocked and humbled to have been named the starter this early in the process. And by early, I mean the fact that, like, he's a week into preseason, he's already been named the starter as a rookie. Listen, we're beating a dead horse here, but does Anthony Richardson make it the full season as the starting quarterback for the Colts?
Come on, man. They're going to go 1-16 with this guy under center. It is awful. Gardner Minshew, this is terrible. I watched video of Colts practice. Can you believe that I just said that out loud? I had to admit it. I watched a video of Colts practice, and these guys really get along really well. And, you know, Anthony Richardson is a fantastic guy. He really is. Like, when all the interviews he's ever been in, super humble, you know, seems like a
very
great
intelligent.
Guy.
Yeah.
Very intelligent, seems like a great guy. And physically, the guy is a monster. Like, his physical stats are off the charts. But he's not a good quarterback. He's just not. He never was at Florida. They expected him to be, and he wasn't. And then he went pro, and it's like, dude, you never even showed how good you. And then somebody drafted him in the top five. And I have that name, Ryan. Do you know the name of the GM that we're going to be unemployed? That's going to be unemployed in the next 3 years?
No, but I'm open ears.
His name is Chris Ballard. So everybody, just write him a letter and just say, dude, enjoy it while it lasts. I mean, he'll make retirement money by the time in the next 3 years when he's done. I mean, if he really wanted to retire, but you know, he's sitting in his, you know, $3 million house with his huge mortgage payment because he's an idiot. I mean, obviously he drafted, you know, Anthony Richardson in the top five. So it's his name is Chris Ballard. And so we'll make sure that we send Chris Ballard, you know, condolences for his future loss of his job, because he's not going to make it past
Roy Stevens and like 25. Roy Stevens liking that comment. Also a shout out Matt Buck in the chat wants to know, I think you or my boss may have said the same thing. He asked what kind of jersey I'm wearing. Looks like a Seahawks jersey. It's hard to explain, but this is a custom jersey that I had made for a work conference. My name, I'm not going to turn around. It's going to be a whole
thing. Do it. Bring it on.
My name is on the back
of the jersey. Yes, that's beautiful.
So we're actually, Bill and I are actually talking about getting custom jerseys made for the show. It'll say Tap Outs and Touchdowns across the front. So we're excited about that.
Except for our favorite number is the same. So we're trying to figure out what number. Ryan, obviously, the creator of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. You get five. I'm not going to be a jerk. Be like, I want five.
Listen, we can leave it up to the audience. We could always let the
because then it'll end up being like 69 or something.
I'm totally okay if they vote me being 69. I'm totally okay with it. We should let the audience give me four because
I'm such a big Anthony Richardson fan. Like now I look like a punter.
You mean five, four, five, whatever the case is.
What is Anthony Richardson? What is his number there? Is it five?
Five. Yeah, it's five.
Don't say that to me. He's actually my.
So PJ says that I'm LARPing as a football player. I'm not sure what that means. That's probably lingo that I'm not
live action role play, Ryan.
Oh, I'm okay. LARPing is that makes sense.
Or you said you dress up.
Yeah, and then
I'm sorry that I know what that means, but
yep, and then Matt says that I should be number 69. So maybe that's what we go with.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, listen, we've talked about it and we're beating the dead horse. I think Richardson finishes the year as the starting quarterback. But we both, I don't have my spreadsheet up. We both have the Colts being god awful this year. So they're going to ride or die with Richardson. They're going to die.
Are they going to draft another quarterback next year? What do you think? How bad is he going to be? Where is the rookie passer rating going to land?
They're going to ride for Anthony Richardson through his rookie contract. They're not going, unless he is absolutely awful.
You're giving him by year two. So 4 years? Or are we going to do the fifth year option?
I'm going to give him three. If by year three he has not made any sort of forward steps, they've got some receivers. Because right now the Colts don't have a lot of receivers that we talk about. A lot of the guys they had years ago with Phillip Rivers, with Carson Wentz, a lot of those guys aren't there anymore. And I honestly couldn't tell you one guy that catches passes on that team except for, of course, I'm drawing a blank and I've got his initial, Jonathan Taylor. And that's the subject we're getting to next. Jonathan Taylor was returned to camp after rehabbing off site and is now exiting Colt camp. We'll talk about it. Yeah, for a personal matter. So we'll get to that before we get to the injury news. But what is going on with Jonathan?
What is going on with Jonathan Taylor?
Does he play for the Colts this year?
Players need to know. I draft my team tomorrow.
Oh, you're drafting too early, man. You're drafting too early. The way that players are dropping right now, you're drafting way too early. Matt Buck says that Andrew Luck comes out of retirement to play for the Colts.
I saw an article. I read way too much, clearly. I don't remember the percentage, but there is a large percentage of people that are drafting Andrew Luck this season on their fantasy team.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's happening. There was an article. Stop it. Yeah. I forget what the percentage is. I mean, it's not like 47%, but it was like 8%. Like 8 out of 100 people. I think it was 7, actually. Are actually drafting Andrew Luck because they think that Anthony Richardson is going to be that bad. They've got Gardner and Minshew on that team, so they don't really need Andrew Luck. Plus, he's not going to be in shape even if he did decide to come out of retirement. And if you've read anything about Andrew Luck or seen any of the people that have interviewed him over the last few seasons because they wanted to know what happened to Andrew Luck, he has no interest in playing football.
And he's not in football shape. Roy Stevens would be great if Luck came back. Listen, my thing is I want to be in those fantasy leagues with those morons that drafted Andrew Luck. That's what I want to have. I want to be in those leagues. Wow.
Speaking of fantasy football leagues, Ryan, we'll segue into the fact that I did talk to my dad about playing a Tap Outs and Touchdowns fantasy league, and he said, I'm all for it. So that gives us three.
Yeah, and we've got Michael Davis, who hosts the Cat Cave with me.
I think $20 buy-in's fair, Radio. Right? $20 buy-in's fair. So we do winner-take-all, or how do you want to split it?
Yeah, we'll do a winner-take-all. Well, we can talk about it off the air, but I do have a couple more people interested. We got to get to 10, at least 10.
Okay.
And we got to do it ASAP. But let's get back to Jonathan Taylor here. Does he play it down for the Colts this year?
Yeah, yes. I don't think he's out. You can't do a Le'Veon Bell. You can't. We've already seen this play out.
He could.
Don't do it. Le'Veon Bell was a beast. Like, ridiculous beast. Yeah. And just stop playing.
You know where he went? You know where he went and his career died? The New York Jets.
Yeah, I knew you were saying it. Where running backs go to die.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, this is what we're going to see with Dalvin Cook. I feel the same way.
But
he just stopped playing. It's just he stopped playing. He was a monster. But Jonathan Taylor's a little bit younger. But
younger.
It's a terrible idea to sit out.
I hate to keep going back here. Was the last like star running back that played for the New York Jets Curtis Martin? Like, I can't think of another running back that was on that level of superstar running back.
LaDainian played there.
Yeah, but that was way past his prime. LaDainian's prime was in San Diego.
Yeah. I mean, did he actually played well?
No, he didn't play well, and he was a backup. We could
go to the Googleverse and see if they tell us who the last New York Jets 1,000-yard rusher was.
It might take that long. PJ Steven chimes in. He wants to play fantasy and pay whatever. If we all do a react show to a WrestleMania and a Wrestling Kingdom of his choice. He also mentioned there's a really long comment in the chat that he wants to do a three-way episode when football meets wrestling, where you come in and watch the match between Kevin Green, Goldberg, and I think it was Piper taking on the it was Flair, Piper, Kevin Green taking on the NWO at Slamboree 97. So
I don't know if I can do it, man. Can I bring a pillow?
Yeah, listen, we can do it on the show. We'll talk about it off the air. We gotta stay on top of it.
Anyway,
we're already gonna go late. Two injuries to note that happened this week. Russell Gage carted off the field, non-contact left leg injury, left knee injury. It has already been said that he is going to miss the remainder of the season. So a big blow from a depth perspective down in Tampa Bay. I mean, granted, they've got their stars in Chris Godwin and Mike Evans down there.
I saw he caught 51 balls last year. I think it was his statistics. Yeah, it was his best season. So
yeah, it was a good quiet year for Russell Gage. Yeah. He made most of his name down in Atlanta. And then Treylon Burks also carted off the field. They're calling it, I believe, an LCL sprain. They said he's going to miss a few weeks. But fortunate news from Treylon Burks. Why is his name escaping me? Oh, Terrace Marshall was carted off the field from Panthers camp with a reported back injury that has not been diagnosed and announced as of yet. But when you have a back injury that you cannot walk away from, that's pretty significant, especially for Marshall coming into sort of a make it or break it year, because since he's been at Carolina, they haven't had a quarterback to throw him the ball. And you can argue that it's still left to be seen. But thoughts on these wide receivers getting hurt at practice, especially Russell Gage. Like, I think we've seen the last of Russell Gage in the NFL, if you wanted my opinion.
I mean, I hope not. You hate to see a guy end a career with an injury. But, I mean, this is football. This is what happens. I mean, that's why you have, 90-man rosters that you chop down to 53, and then you have practice squads that are, another lineup, deep now. They used to be small. Now they're large practice squads. But, I mean, this is what happens, man. It's so violent and just, I mean, Roy's still here. Roy used to play football in high school, and he knows how violent it was. And so I think you did too, Ryan, right? So it's
– yeah.
Or tried to. Yeah, did a little bit and then wrestling. But it's just – I mean, that's what happens, man. This is what you see in the NFL, and it's a shame to see these guys going down, but I think we're just going to continue to see it every single day, and you just hope you don't hear those words, season ending, because that's just
– yeah.
You don't want to see a guy lose a year of his football life because, something goofy happened in camp. And Gage, I think I read that it was a it always seems to be always
non-contact.
If you don't want to hurt your ACL, run into people. That seems to be what happened. But it's always non-contact with these guys just planting on the field or making a cut or something weird happening, and then they go down. That's sad. I just don't want to hear anything from the Dolphins like that, because we had that all year last year, and I can't stand those things because you get excited about players and then they're not there.
Well, a couple of quick notes, quick comments here. I think Brandon Schell was an offensive lineman drafted by the Miami Dolphins. I could be wrong about that.
Retiring. But he was not drafted by the Miami Dolphins. He is Art Shell's son. Remember Art Shell, the coach?
Yeah.
He played for the Dolphins last season. But, he's retiring from the Patriots. So he went up to try to play for Bill Belichick and decided football's not for him anymore.
Well, Brandon Schell, former Gamecock. So, pretty unfortunate.
Is that,
news
there's
me.
Where you were going with that one.
Yeah, like, that's nobody where I was cares, going with it.
But, except Brian does.
Matt and I care about it. Roy comes back in the comments. This Cam, I guess that means this Cam comeback. Is there a spot for him somewhere? It's funny you mentioned that because I was talking offline with a couple people about what would happen if San Francisco had won the NFC Championship last year and somebody threw the idea Cam Newton could come out and play for one game.
I would say, Cam who?
The contingency plan was that had they beaten Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, they were going to go out and sign Russell Wilson. They were going to go out and sign Phillip Rivers to play in the Super Bowl for the Niners last year, which would have been really cool. Shout out Rudy Quarterman coming in. I believe first time in the comment section here on the show. Saw the Terrace Marshall Jr. news. Poor guy can't stay healthy. I'm with you, man. I mean, this guy, you know, there were three star wide receivers that played with Joe Burrow at LSU, and Terrace Marshall was supposed to be one of those stars. And Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson have far and away broken out as those top receivers, and Terrace Marshall just can't seem to get right. And then Matt comes back in. Brandon Shell's actually from Charleston. So not only is he just a former Gamecock, he's a South Carolina local guy, man. So we're going to stay with Brandon Schell in a sense because we're going to talk a little bit more about the Miami Dolphins before we take our first ad break. We're going to talk about Christian Wilkins, a former Clemson Tiger who is in the final year of his rookie deal and is going through one of those contract negotiation things with the Dolphins, and he has missed practice. He's not reported for the last couple of days, if I'm not mistaken. Bill is the resident Dolphin fan that I know and that I talk to regularly. Is this to be concerned, or does Christian Wilkins eventually just show up, or do they get a contract done? Like, what's next for Christian Wilkins?
Contract gets done. I think the Dolphins are poking and trying to figure out what he'll accept. They don't want to throw a big number at him and him go, oh, it's more than I thought I was going to get. I think they're just kind of the conversations are being had, and they're calling it a hold in. By the way, he isn't holding out. He's
showing up to camp. He's just not
practicing. He's at camp. He does the individual drills. He stretches and things like that. And then he goes over and works on the sideline by himself and doesn't get involved in team drills. Does it bother me? No.
Listen.
It's worse to hold out. He's still being a team guy. He's still showing up and working with the team. And I think he's just letting them know, look, I really want to get this done. Can we get this done so that I don't play a season and have a situation where if I was to sustain some sort of injury that could be career threatening, that I don't have my future taken care of by this football team that I've already given 4 years. So he's not wrong. And I think Miami needs to pay him. I just think they're looking to find out how they can get him on the field at the least amount of money, because obviously they want to run for a Super Bowl, right? And they don't want it to be this year. They want it to be this year, next year, and the year after, that the window is open. And if you start paying Christian Wilkins a ton of money and you lose, you know, $3-4 million off the salary cap, that could hurt you in other places. I think that's just what Miami's trying to do.
Well, your guy Roy says we can't afford to lose him.
No,
so he's on board with keeping Christian Wilkins.
He is one of my favorite players on the team. I love everything that man does. And he apparently has been absolutely, before he stopped playing in drills, even against the Falcons, when they were practicing against the Falcons, who were supposed to have a pretty good offensive line, he apparently was absolutely dominating joint practices. And so everybody's saying, every person that I've read is saying he's taking it to another level.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Christian Wilkins was the guy that started the Power Rangers taunt after sacks down at Clemson.
Yes.
And if I'm also not mistaken, he's also the guy that pulled like the refrigerator duty where they line up at the 1 yard line. He'd line up at fullback and just pounded in because he was just so big. So Christian Wilkins.
Miami does that as well. Miami has put him in the offense as well.
Yeah. A big piece that the Miami Dolphins need to figure out. A lot of stuff to figure out coming out of preseason week one. So let's take our first ad break and then we'll get right into the NFL preseason week one. But before we do that, let's talk about our first sponsor, Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my best friend Aaron Thompson at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap House and Touchdown sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology. Oh man, these reads are getting just second nature, man. I'm just so good. I might as well be on
that. I give that one like an 8.
An 8?
Like you were as into it as usual. I'm kidding.
You know, what can you do, man? Listen, they're not all gonna be 10s.
Yeah, right. That's
listen, we are through preseason week one. A lot of teams wanted to show some things, a lot of teams didn't. We're not going to go through all the scores, but some notable games. Your dad's Giants lost to my Lions 21-16. The Steelers come out and beating the Bucks 27-17. A lot of rookie quarterbacks got some action this weekend. The Carolina Panthers lost to the Jets 27-0. The Colts lost to the Bills 29-13. Again, Richardson did not play that entire game. Let's go down the list here.
I can't wait till he does. I'm going to watch Colts games this season just to watch Richardson fail. I'm so excited to see this happen, like it unfold as we go through the season. Chris Ballard is coming for you.
For some reason, the Titans are trying to see what they have in Will Levis. They lose to the Bears 23-17. The Bears had a big screen pass that went for if you look at the stat line, Justin Fields had a tremendous week one preseason, but DJ Moore caught a screen pass that took it 65 yards. I'm trying to think of the other rookie quarterbacks that played. And for some reason they're escaping me. I'm sure somebody will hit me with the comments. Bill, matter of fact, Uncle G's in the house, man. Your Uncle Gary's in the house.
What's up, Gary?
Coming to watch.
Uncle G.
Uncle G's in the house. Give me your preseason week one winners. I mean, listen, we should say.
You know, we won for not watching. That's what we did.
I watched a little bit of stuff. I wanted to see some guys play. I think, you know what? Let's start off saying, and I said this on the Cat Cave this week, the 0-16 Detroit Lions went undefeated in the preseason that season. The Baltimore Ravens have not lost a preseason game since 2015. That's the question, Bill. That's the question. So, yes, the outcome of these preseason games mean very little to what happens in the regular season, but they still mean something to these players, guys that are fighting for roster spots. 50 guys out of the XFL have been signed to the NFL, so they're still fighting to keep their roster spots on these NFL teams. Real quick shout out to Jonathan Leatherman, Banker Bill, that you're missed in Washington, coming in the chat. So
thanks, I'm not... Will. That's my cousin.
Okay, right on. So I think we're winners because most of these games were more entertaining than the Hall of Fame game, right? I think we could argue that. I mean, a lot of scoring here. The Packers beat the Bengals 36-19. That's a lot of scoring there to be done. And I think we're winners because football is back. We were hanging out watching
that for a minute, right? I mean, we actually saw a little bit of that. And I feel like Jordan Love played, at least I thought, played a little better than maybe I anticipated.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll call him a winner? I don't know. I mean, he's the incumbent starter, right? I mean, he's the only guy left. Let's put him in the game.
Yep. Yeah, so real quick shout out, Volley Polly. We're gonna have to talk to you offline because we're trying to put a fantasy league together. I've already got
Jonathan said he's in too.
Okay, sweet. So we got a couple people. Nevertheless,
it's building, man. Yeah, it's building.
We are winners because football is back. Yeah, you and I watched the XFL season. Not everybody did. We did not watch the USFL because it was unwatchable. So football's back. Whether it's real football, it's real football, but it's not real football because you're not getting those key players. Gary comes
better
back
than
in
the USFL.
Yeah, it's better than the USFL. Gary, Uncle Gary comes back in. Preseason is important to the team, not the fans. Andy's in the chat. What's up, Andy? Coming out of Washington. Probably happy. Look, thinks I'm wearing a Seattle Seahawks jersey tonight. And then Rudy comes back in the chat. CJ Stroud playing this week. Not a great showing. That's the guy that I could not come up with.
I don't want CJ Stroud to play well this week either because the Dolphins played. Well, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Nobody cares. Like, it doesn't matter.
So
don't get hurt.
We've talked about the winners in preseason week one. Let's talk losers because there were a lot of losers this week, including CJ Stroud. He looked terrible. He looked scared. 2 for 4, 13 yards, an interception. Had a sack, and his interception was terrible. I don't know if you saw this. Bill, who are your losers in preseason week one?
Bryce Young was terrible. Awful.
Yep.
Looked horrible. It was not good at all. My expectations for his season are low, of course. That's why when you told me we're going to hold you to this, the 80 to 90 receptions for Hayden Hurst. By the way, the only action I did see Hayden Hurst, he committed a penalty. He has nice long hair, though, so he looks good in his number 81 jersey.
First of all, they call him Ginger Thor.
Yeah.
And secondly, he did have a catch in that game from Bryce Young.
Great.
One catch, great. 5
One
yards.
One of the four passes that he completed. Fantastic.
89 yards, 89 catches to go.
That's right. Yep. We're going to hold you to that one. Gardner Minshew somehow became a loser this week as he now knows he's not going to be the starter up in Indianapolis. I think that that was almost an impossible hill to climb, but don't worry, Gardner. Your time is coming because Anthony Richardson is going to be horrific. So, like I said, I cannot wait to watch this dumpster fire of a team up here. I don't know why I'm so excited to watch them lose because he's a Florida Gator. I should be rooting for Mr. Richardson, but I'm not because he was way overdrafted and I hate
him. Yeah. Listen, if you're watching the live video, leave your winners and losers of preseason week one in the chat. Well, we can talk about them on the air. I'll give you one. The big loser in preseason week one for me are offensive lines all over the NFL. The Panthers gave up five sacks.
Why is it so hard? I don't understand it. What happened that we don't have enough fat guys that can just stop other guys from shoving them around? Like, what happened to that?
Are they just not
this many bad offensive line? Now, granted, I think a lot of starters didn't play. Like, the Dolphins didn't play like any starters on their offensive line. Like, they're just trying to avoid injuries. But even with that, I mean, you had a lot of non-starters playing defense as well, and they were just getting shoved all over the place. Like, I saw a video. I actually watched video breakdown of the Dolphins, which is ridiculous. I know that's terrible. Kim Bullcamper breaks down a bunch of stuff. I watched that. That's, and they're just awful, like running into each other awful. What's wrong with you guys? Have you guys seen a football game before? Stop doing what you're doing.
Real quick. Rudy comes in the chat disagreeing with you on Bryce Young, and I'm right there with you. I was getting there. O-line gave zero help. Still looked like he wasn't panicking. He was composed. He got hit three times, sacked once, completed 4 of 6 passes. They only went for 21 yards. But Matt Corral came in, threw an interception, was sacked 4 times. And if you listen to Michael Davis and I on the Cat Cave, we both said that Matt Corral is out here trying to prove something to keep that backup spot on this roster. Because right now, Andy Dalton is the backup. We don't know how long Andy Dalton's going to be in Carolina. And so if Matt Corral wants a future in Carolina, even if it's the backup to Bryce Young, he's got to do something. He went 15-22 for 126 passing yards in that game against the Jets. Now, the Jets are known for their defense.
They didn't play starters, but Bryce Young was in.
But yeah, you've got Zach Wilson got sacked once. I forgot what game it was where there were a lot of sacks. Again, over in Houston, C.J. Stroud got sacked once. Bailey Zappi got sacked twice. Trace McSorley got sacked once for New England. Just a lot of really bad offensive line play. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, the offensive line aren't conditioning like some of the other skill positions are in the offseason. I mean, it's come in big, be big-bodied. Now, I can't.
I'm not sure what that means. They lift weights. They're supposed to know how to play the position.
But it's
the hardest position now. Maybe it's because, like, kids when they're younger, they're like, I want to grow up and be a tackle. Like, that never happens, right? Or a guard. Like, you're just a fat guy that's not good enough to play tackle. Like, that's what ends up happening. That's what a guard is.
I mean, yeah.
A center's like, I want to hike the ball. Like, yeah, is there a kid like Billy Bob from freaking, what was that movie?
Oh, it was Varsity Blues.
Like, Varsity Blues grows up to be he grew up to be a fat kid. Like, he didn't get to play pro football, even though he had the body for it. Like, that didn't happen.
Billy Bob got skinny, dude. I don't know if you've seen Billy Bob since then. Yeah, he got fit. He's probably thinner than I am.
Kids they don't grow up to say, I'm going to be a tackle. Like, you were the kid that wanted to play wide receiver but couldn't run off the pounds. That's, I'm serious. That's what happens with offensive linemen. That's what it is. Or tight end. Like, George Fant was a tight end, and Pete Carroll's like, nah, man, go eat some chicken and steak over there. Make sure you put on the pounds and start blocking some of those defense. That's what happened to George Fant. He was going to be a tight end and got fat.
Maybe they wanted to play defense and they just couldn't get past the tackles? So they're like, you can't get to the quarterback, so maybe you can prevent people from getting the quarterback.
That doesn't work either? Is that what you're saying? J.R. Sweezy that was NC State or whatever. I forget what college he played for. J.R. Sweezy came out of I don't remember what college it was, but Pete Carroll said, oh, you're not a good defensive tackle. We're going to switch you to guard. And he actually ended up he might have made the Pro Bowl as an offensive guard. And he switched him in pro. He was a defensive player in college. And they moved him to be a guard. Yeah. But, I mean, maybe we should see more of that because, man, like you said, it is. Offensive line play seems to be so much more difficult than anything else on the football field at this point. Like, it's quarterbacks and then offensive linemen. Like, they're the next hardest position.
So Is this a fluke and just a sign of preseason week one, or is this something that teams should be concerned about? Because, again, I talked about it earlier in this show that on Hard Knocks, Robert Saleh called out his offensive line for not blocking well in a joint practice with the Panthers. So should teams really be concerned right now, or is it?
I don't think they're starting a lot of their top caliber offensive linemen. You're not going to see Teron Armstead on a field in preseason, right? Because he gets hurt all the time, and that's Miami's best offensive lineman. That's just one example that I can give you. I think that's happening where you're not having a lot of the offensive starting caliber talent on the field, but it also takes time for these guys to gel. You've got a lot of teams that have new offensive linemen that are, you know, just getting an opportunity to play with some of the guys that they're playing with. So I think you're going to see some of this issue early in camp. I think if you see it the last week of the training, you know, the last week of training camp, the last week of preseason, I think you might have to start to worry.
Yeah. Couple comments in the thread. People are all about talking about passed away.
Yeah, I had to look over my thing there.
Ron Lester, aka Billy Bob, passed away from liver and kidney disease. I remember hearing that.
That's terrible.
And then Rudy comes back in, big comment here. How do you replicate somebody rushing you during the offseason like you're playing in a game? Offensive line got dragged into a meeting right after the game. That's true. That they won't release the details on. But it was basically a come to Jesus meeting for the offensive line, basically saying, listen, the concern drafting.
You're going to get our star quarterback that we just drafted killed. Look at him. He's only 5'9", 135 pounds. Make sure he doesn't die.
Yeah, that's because everybody was like, well, Bryce Young is small. Can he take a hit? Well, he proved in that preseason game that he can take a hit, that he doesn't lose his composure, and he can still continue to play now. He
blasted at one point in the game,
yep.
too.
And he got up, and he kept playing like it was nothing. So
he's 23 years old or 22. Give him a year or two. He won't be getting up.
Well, give him a few years. Let him get an offensive line in front of him that can actually block.
You know, no, it's this year, Ryan. He has to throw at least 90 balls to Hayden Hurst this season for you not to look foolish.
Listen, a lot of 5-yard out routes are still catching.
That'll get you 450 yards. You need 1,000 yards and 90
interception. In fairness, I did. Go back and watch the tape. I said 80 to 90 catches. Or 1,000 yards.
90 to 100 catches.
I was 90 to 100 catches. Yeah. 90 to 100 catches, or 1,000 yards receiving. I still think it's doable. Again, it's preseason week one. They got a chance to
Gamecocks. Gamecocks. So many superstars coming out of South Carolina. Watch out. Hayden Hurst is the next one.
There's a lot of guys. He's not the next one. He's already there, man. Listen, you're talking all this junk.
I've got one. We're gonna talk about him in Homer's.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Homer's Corner. So don't give me a hard time about being a homer, because that's exactly what I do.
Sorry.
Nevertheless, oh, you got me in a mood, Bill.
He's getting all red face. I'm like Santa right now.
This isn't the light. This is my face. This is age and rosacea happening right now, getting me all worked up. Preseason week two starts on Thursday. The Browns take on the Jets on NFL Network. The Panthers play the Giants on Friday night on the NFL Network.
I will be interested in that. I will go watch Bryce Young play horribly again.
So again, if you want to look at matchups going into week two, nothing really stands out outside of those two: the Jags and the Lions. Dolphins play the Texans. You talked about that. Let's see, anything big going on? You got Bears and Colts.
How much do we see the starters this week? What do you think? Is this the dress rehearsal week, or are they going to wait till week three?
That's a good question. I think I was talking about this again, Michael Davis on the Cat Cave. I think Bryce Young, as long as he's not getting beat up the entire quarter, I think Bryce Young needs to play for a half. If Bryce Young is getting pressured as bad as he did in week one, I think he plays the first quarter and you pull him. If they're protecting well, he's moving the ball down the field, he's getting in a scoring position, you play him for a half.
Okay.
I don't think you have a choice. Guys like Aaron Rodgers probably won't play.
I don't think Tua is playing. Maybe a series.
Any of the stars, any of the, like the big stars of the game of football in the NFL don't have a reason to play significant time in this game.
It's next week then? Next week we get the dress rehearsal?
Yeah, week three is the week, the dress rehearsal.
Last year they didn't do that. Last year it was week two, if I remember correctly. And then week three they used for like all the backups, like the very very bottom of the roster, to see which guys they wanted to tag onto the 53.
Was last year the first year with only three preseason games, though? Yeah, so there you go. Normally you get week four, Like, you get week four of the preseason, so you not get anymore. To see, you know.
But they did all those cuts, so there was always, like, the cut downs. So week four, you had, you know, like, you were finding out who your worst guys were. But most of the terrible guys had been cut. Now everybody's still on the roster through week three, and then you get to, you know, find out who's going to be on your 53 right there at the end.
Before we get into draft strategies, I got to know whose jersey you're rocking. That's not Jalen Waddle. Is that a
– That is a Ryan Tannehill straight-up vintage, like, the year he blew out his knee.
Oh man, that's unfortunate.
No, actually, I bought this when he was a rookie. So
there you go.
Yeah, and people made fun of me. I posted that I bought it on Facebook, and people made fun of me, and I said I had faith. Didn't work out.
He's not a bad quarterback.
Hey, we went to the playoffs 1 year. He was 1 year,
especially considering he was a wide receiver in college. So, nevertheless, fantasy football. You talked about your draft being tomorrow.
Yes.
Which would be today if you're listening to this not live with us. I've got a fantasy draft on Labor Day weekend. I've got two drafts. I got on Labor Day Sunday, and then that Tuesday after Labor Day, so 2 days before the season. Most years, and you can go into the archives of the show, and you can listen to my sort of introduction into fantasy football if you've never played before, because it pretty much stays consistent. It should hold up. But things have changed. Running backs don't have the longevity. Running backs don't hold the value. So heading into your draft tomorrow, what are some of your draft strategies heading into drafting a championship team this season?
Wide receiver. You got to get one of the top wide receivers. They're the ones that seem to put up the points now, because it's a what do they call it? Points per touchdown. So it's a bit. Points per touchdown reception. Yeah, it's still 6 points. So you get the same amount as if you had a running back. There are no bell cow running backs anymore, except Derrick Henry, probably, or maybe Austin Eckler. Eckler's not really a great rusher, but his receiving yards make up that difference. But I think I'm looking at wide receiver early, and I'm going to stick to that strategy that I talked about last week. If you have a late first round pick and Travis Kelce is on the board, go for the monopoly at tight end. I'm going to stick to that strategy that if he's available when I pick, and I don't even know where I'm picking yet. So I don't know when they're going to decide that, or if it's going to happen right as the draft starts. But I think wide receiver first. And then you just got to flow with it, man. You got to figure out a best player, and then just try to hope you land the right guys in the right spots.
I got another Thompson in the chat. Austin Thompson coming out asking if it's Bully Rye or Channing Tatum.
Personal best friend.
Yeah. That's Austin Thompson. That's a cousin of Aaron. That's
sorry.
Another good friend of mine, but no, it's a personal.
Now he's hitting on you though. It's Channing Tatum. That's odd. Like, okay.
I'm probably closer to Jonah Hill than Channing Tatum. If we're looking 21 Jump Street, I'm more on the Jonah Hill side than Tatum, you know what I'm saying? Like this F.A. Holmes. So Bill,
my name is Jeff.
Sorry, God, we keep getting sidetracked tonight. When it comes to drafting a fantasy team,
what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, it all depends on what position you're drafting, which is what I was going to ask you, and then I'll kind of give you my strategy. Where do you like to in draft order goes from, like, if you're drafting, you know, 1 through 12, 1 through 10, where do you generally like drafting? Because a lot of people, if you draft in a snake draft,
yeah,
a lot of people like drafting 10 or 12 because they get two picks back to back. I don't like drafting number one overall because you might get the best player available,
and you kick yourself if you're wrong.
And it's a long time before you get to make another pick. Yeah. So I like to draft right in the middle. Matter of fact, my 10 man league, I'm drafting number 5.
Yeah, I like 3 through 5.
So you like 3 through 5, not like 3 through 7.
So there's premium players. There are like 5 really ridiculous players that are amazing in fantasy football, right? I mean, you get Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, like they're guys that blow up the scoreboard. They did last year. We talked about Austin Eckler. Derrick Henry is one that usually, if he doesn't have an injury season, and who knows what he's going to be this year. We've talked about that multiple times. But, there are premium players at the very top. If you miss those guys and you end up in that middle ground where you're like, I'm not sure what I want to do, and do I want to be the first guy to take quarterback? Like, that could be really tough. And what you said about being late in the first round where you get you kind of double up, right, where you get guys like, I'm going to take this guy, and then likely I'm going to have one of these 4 guys that are available coming up. That's fun too. But I think I like getting the premium players at the top of the first round.
So I'm with you. This year, more than any year, I'm targeting wide receivers. Okay. I'm in a league where we get keepers, and we have certain keeper leagues or certain keeper rules. So guys like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are already off the board.
Right.
Depending on where you're drafting, if like the top five receivers are off the board, maybe I mean a couple of top running backs are off the board. I hate to say it. Travis Kelce is the only tight end that you can count on in fantasy football. If he has a bad week, you don't care because next week he's going to get you 40 points. Mm-hmm. So
that's why
the first couple of rounds, depending on who's there,
if somebody will keep him, right? Somebody will keep Travis Kelce. There can't be anybody that has.
So again, the keeper rules in this league are if you draft anybody from round, you can draft anybody in the draft and you can use him as your first round keeper. But if you draft anybody in the 10th, 11th round or later, you get used as your last round pick. So if you keep Travis Kelce and you draft him, obviously you're going to draft him before the 10th round, he has to be used as your first round pick. So that begs the question.
I see. Okay.
If you have the number one overall pick, are you going to use it to keep Travis Kelce, per se? So that's where it gets sort of murky, right?
That is interesting.
But if you've got names like Jefferson, Chase, even Taylor and Saquon, if those guys are gone, and again, if you're watching the show live with us, chime in the chat. What are your strategies drafting fantasy football teams going this season? But if those guys are gone, and you can snag a Travis Kelce in the mid to late of the first round, everybody else is going to be like, they can expect Hockenson to have a couple good weeks, and then they're going to have a really bad down week. Same thing with Mark Andrews. We don't know what Darren Waller's going to do with New York with Daniel Jones this season.
It's going to be fantastic.
Somebody's going to make the mistake of drafting Kyle Pitts in the top seven rounds, and they're going to be severely disappointed as they have been the first 2 years of his NFL career.
Right.
Somebody's going to draft Hayden Hurst in like round 15, and they're going to have a Pro Bowl tight end because that's what I'm calling for on their roster. So listen, if I had to give anybody advice drafting a fantasy football team, Do not draft a kicker before the last round of your draft. Just don't do it. I don't care how intriguing. I don't care if it's round 13. You're like, ooh, Justin Tucker's out here. Let me go get Justin. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I don't care if you get the best kicker in the league. Do not draft a kicker before the last round of your draft. I don't care what. I don't care how late it is. If it's not the last round and you're drafting with me, you're getting picked on. They don't call me Bully Rye for nothing. You're getting a big old load of bully if you draft a kicker that early. Same thing with
defense. I don't see the point of it. They're all so equal. They're so equal. Yeah.
There's no like, yeah, Justin Tucker can give you a week with 20 points. The next week he's going to give you three.
And then drop your super good kicker the week he has a bye week.
Because nobody's going to pick him up.
Right.
Who's going to pick him up? I got a kicker. Oh, he's not playing.
0.4 points a week more than my kicker. Like that's
Let me go draft my handcuff running back for a kicker that I can use starting next week. No, nobody's going to do that. Same thing goes for defenses. You can get a really good defense in the second half of your draft. You don't have to go round 8 when there's a bunch of skill players still out there and draft. Who had the best defense in the NFL last year? The Niners?
Fantasy-wise? Yeah, probably 49ers. They're up in the top 5.
Well, the Cowboys lead the league in takeaways, so you've got that.
That's because of one guy. Actually, two.
Well, two nevertheless, guys. You're not going to get the same points from a defense or a kicker that you're going to get from a skill player. So if you want my biggest piece of advice, you try to get some top receivers at the top, the first couple rounds of your draft. If it falls and all those top receivers are gone and there's some really talented running backs, take a shot, take a risk on some of the Jonathan Taylor is still not a bad pick. We don't know what he's going to be in Indianapolis, but best case scenario, he finally gets granted the trade before the trade deadline. And all of a sudden Jonathan Taylor becomes a top 10 running back the second half of the season. Again, a guy like Saquon Barkley, who's playing on a make it or break it year with a 1 year contract, guys that people aren't really talking about. Miles Sanders can be a steal somewhere in the middle rounds of your fantasy draft that nobody's talking about.
Such a homer, such a homer.
Listen,
running back that had one good year on a contract year, and you're like, oh, he can be a steal.
Cut it out. No, but yeah, go receiver. If you're not getting like a top tier running back, you can go receiver. If you're not getting those top tier wide receivers, don't reach for a quarterback. You're gonna want to go get Patrick Mahomes in the third round. You're gonna want to go get a Josh Allen. There's no Tom Brady, so nobody's gonna care about Tom Brady. You're gonna want to go get one of those top five
Justin
running quarterbacks.
Fields.
Justin Fields, Justin Herbert.
He runs. I know that sounds horrible, and I will crap on Justin Fields everywhere else but fantasy football.
So yeah, you're gonna want to reach for a quarterback. Don't. Again, the skill players are more valuable than any other position. Wide receiver, running back, go get one of those. You are going to get a serviceable quarterback come round 9 or later. Now listen, if you're drafting with me, don't listen to this advice. I want you to take Justin Tucker 9th overall, and when it comes back around the second time, take Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, you got to get a good kicker. So, yeah, my strategy is to do your research. That's probably another one. Do your research. There's a lot of different sites out there now that give you different rankings, whether it's NBC with Matthew Berry, ESPN with Field Yates and the crew, NFL Network does their ranking. Do your research. Do some mock drafts. If you're drafting on a regular website, 9 times out of 10, they're going to have options for you to mock draft. You can plug yourself in where your draft order is. You can see how people are drafting around you, so you can see what kind of team that you can put together. Do some mock drafts.
Well, and get good at kind of changing your pick on the fly. Like, you need to be good at having multiple guys that you are interested in with the next pick immediately. And then you have to be careful because you're going to be like, okay, I picked 8th. And now I'm going to be coming right back around. You got to have a lot of guys in your mind how it's going to work. Yep. And as guys get picked off the board, you got to be able to change your outlook and your mindset of what you're looking for in the next pick fairly quickly. Because if guys are really excited and all of a sudden it's like, you pick and then they're like, oh, my guy's there. Boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden you're picking again. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea what I wanted. That'll ruin your team. One bad pick will ruin your team.
It's also inevitable that the guy that you have on your list will get picked before you do.
Yeah.
So you've got to know how to draft on the fly. Listen, we're going to have some more fantasy football talk. Probably going to be some more injuries to talk about going into next week. We are going to get in a Homer's Corner to end the show. Before we do that, we're going to talk about our last sponsor, and that is One Stop Repairs. Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call Zach for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs. Bill, it's my favorite time of the show, man. We're getting into Homer's Corner. Each of us gets to take a topic and be the ultimate homer and talk about something we want to talk about. And so I'm going to open the show up to you, Banker Bill. Your topic this week is Cam Smith, new rookie cornerback for the Miami Dolphins, avoids major injury. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I was watching the game, man, and I don't know. I was talking to you about it, I think. I don't know if we were watching, but Cam Smith came up with a shoulder injury, making a fantastic tackle for loss in the game. And, of course, we know the issue with Jalen Ramsey and how Ramsey's going to be out for we don't know how long because of the meniscus injury that he has with his team. But Cam Smith, when he went down, man, I'm thinking this guy, because I've been hearing great things about him in camp, and when he went down with his injury, I was really upset. At first, I think I said to you, like, he's dropping his shoulder. There's something wrong with his arm. And, like, right away. And so then the next play, he goes and dove for the ball and tried to make a pass breakup on a play into the end zone and then laid there, and then he was gone. They pulled him out of the game, and, oh, no, Cam Smith, the guy that I'm hoping is going to replace Jalen Ramsey as a starting corner of the Miami Dolphins, is now injured. Well, thank goodness he avoided major injury. He was at practice on Monday. They're saying they're going to hold him out for a week, not make him play in the game this week, just to make sure that it's not something that lingers around. But, and I know you're excited about this guy, obviously, because he's a Gamecock. And I am too, because he was our number one pick in the draft, which is the number two second round pick. And so I want to see him do well. And I don't want to see this guy. I need this guy to play well. I need him. He needs to take Jalen Ramsey's spot and just be a magical, magical pick that they got in the second round.
Listen, he got banged up at Carolina a good bit too.
You said that too. You said, oh, that's his problem. He can't stay healthy. I'm like, don't say that to me, man. Like, I don't want that to be his thing.
Let's hope. Let's again, he avoided major injury. Let's hope that he's going to be able to play, especially starting the beginning of the season, especially because your old guy, Mike Gesicki, they suffered what's called a minor dislocated shoulder in camp. They're expecting him to be ready by week one, but a lot of guys, again, coming out getting banged up, including my topic for home.
Probably tried to block Ryan, is probably what happened.
It just
doesn't go well for Mike. Mike doesn't like to run into people.
Cam Smith's not the only guy dealing with the injury bug. An ex-post tweet from Dave Burkett. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Dave Burkett, his Twitter, or his ex-bio reads, 3-time Michigan Sports Writer of the Year. Tweeted out today, bad day for the Lions, is an exact quote from his tweet that took place August 16th. So that was yesterday if you're not watching this live. Today, if you are. Bad day for Lions wide receivers so far. Amon-Ra St. Brown hurt his lower right leg on the first play of 7-on-7s. Currently working with trainers, Jameson Williams just pulled up grabbing his right hammy. Listen, the Detroit Lions, they were going to be without Jameson Williams for a while anyway. He got suspended for gambling, whatever. The Detroit Lions cannot afford to lose Amon-Ra St. Brown. They can't afford to lose him for week one. Can't afford to lose him for 4 weeks. The Lions' offensive success rides on the shoulders of Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is the new Cooper Kupp. There have been a lot of people talking about Cooper Kupp's stats in 2021. He was the top wide receiver in fantasy football. He was putting up the exact same stats last year before he got hurt and basically been sent sit down for the rest of the season. I should know because I had both Cooper Kupp and Amon-Ra St. Brown on the same fantasy roster, and I still somehow made the championship without Cooper Kupp because I had Amon-Ra St. Brown. If Amon-Ra St. Brown is not healthy, I do not know what this Lions offense looks like. You've got a rookie running back in Jahmyr Gibbs, who is essentially the do-all for this offense, but he's a rookie, so we don't know exactly what he's going to be able to do. They're lining him up at the slot in practices, or at least they were early in camp. Again, no Jameson Williams for at least the first few weeks of the season for suspension, but if he's got a hamstring injury, that can linger the entire year. We saw what happened with Keenan Allen with a hamstring injury. He was never the same after he hurt his hamstring last year. And Jameson Williams has already shown an inclination to not be able to stay healthy in his NFL career. Last year, I mean, he was coming in from an ACL injury off of his national championship run with Alabama. He missed a lot of time last season. He's supposed to be really fast. And if you got a bad hammy, you're not going to have that speed. You're not going to have that speed with a bad hammy. You're not going to be comfortable pushing that hammy to go fast. But I am genuinely concerned. I haven't seen an update on this. If somebody has an update, please let me know at Taphouse and TDs, facebook.com/Taphouse and Touchdowns. And let me know. Because if the Lions are going to have the offense they need to have, Amon-Ra St. Brown needs to be healthy. So that's my segment, Homer's Corner. Bill, this has been fun. A lot of audience interaction tonight.
Yeah.
Some likes on Facebook. Right? Pedro, Gary Payton, or is it Patton or Payton? Is your uncle?
Patton.
Gary Patton, Volley Polly, David Dixon, your wife Shauna was in here liking it. Rudy Quarterman, thanks for being a part of the show tonight, man. This has all been fun. We got one more comment. Pedro says, go birds.
There's a lot of birds.
You're talking Falcons, you're talking Cardinals. We don't get pictures and GIFs in our chat over here.
Eagles.
Yeah, there's a lot of birds, man. Seahawks. Go Gamecocks. I get it. Go Gamecocks. I'm right there with you, man. Go Gamecocks.
Is that a bird?
I'm
right there with
you. Gamecock is – you don't know. You know what I love,
that's a flightless bird, right?
I don't know if it's flightless, but they fight. They're not flightless birds.
An SEC title or a national championship.
I hate you so much. Bill, this has been a really fun episode, man. I appreciate you being here once again. I'd ask you to come to the floor and talk about iRacing, but I don't think you got anything going on right this second.
No, we're in the off season right now. Guys are right. Begging us. Well, when are we going to start? I'm like, man, I'm having a good time not doing anything on Monday and Tuesdays. So soon.
I'm right there with you. We are past time. We've had a really good show tonight. A lot of fan interaction. Andy comes in with a good show. Rudy loved the show too. Listen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate y'all coming in every Wednesday. Yeah. Bill and I are going live at 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern time. What's that? Six Mountain? I know it's
six
five
Mountain, five Pacific.
Five Pacific. So come and join us live. And if you ever miss the live show, we're always available on wherever Central. You get. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
How many time zones can you name, Ryan?
I don't know. Listen, if you live in Australia, I don't know what to tell you. I think it's tomorrow in Australia Atlantic. Right now. Yeah, but no, if you don't get to catch the show live, make sure you find us on wherever it is that you find podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you find shows, and you can listen to us after the show's over if you missed the live show. Listen, if you want to find a place to find me, not only am I on this football show, PJ Steven got involved in the chat tonight. You can find me on Monday or Tuesdays for our wrestling shows. We normally go live on Mondays talking pro wrestling. But if you missed that show, we'll be on Tuesdays. And then over with Michael Davis on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio Network as a part of the Keep Pounding Podcast Network, we do a show called The Cat Cave. We do about a 30-minute show every week talking nothing but Carolina Panthers. So make sure you catch that show on Wednesdays over on Tobacco Road Sports Radio, powered by the Fans First Sports Network. And again, we'll be here every week with Banker Bill and yours truly, your guy, Bully Rye, talking pro football. We got a lot of cool stuff coming next week. We're going to be talking what it takes to win a Heisman from being relatively unknown. We started having this conversation off the air. We're going to have a conversation on the air next week. It's going to be really fun. So if you want to know what it's going to take to win a Heisman from being a relatively unknown player in college football the year prior,
Spencer Rattler style.
Come back.
That's where this came from. We talked about Spencer Rattler possibly winning the Heisman.
Yeah, come back and listen to the show next week because it's going to be a really fun conversation. It honestly might take up half, if not the whole show. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of research is going to go into it. A lot of fun conversation. So come back and join us next week for that. But we are all out of time for this week. Thanks for everyone who joined us in the chat, who joined us on Facebook, who joined us on YouTube, wherever it is you listen. Thanks everybody who interacted with us tonight. And we'll see you next week. For Banker Bill, it's your guy, Bully Rye, for Tap House and Touchdowns. And we'll see you next week.